Take your Bible this morning and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read some scripture beginning in verse 12. We've talked about Ephesians, about especially the first chapter, how that Paul the Apostle was writing to the people at Ephesus, saved people, church people, and telling them that God had predestined some things regarding them, that there are things that God did predestine. He predestined that those that are saved would be to the praise of His glory. You see that mentioned several times in this first chapter. You can find it there in verse 12 that we're fixing to read. He said in verse 11 that in Christ we are predestined to certain things. There are things that are determined according to the counsel of God and the decrees of God for us. That saved people would live saved. That Christians would live like Christians. That those that receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit would live accordingly and thus be to the praise of God's glory. Now, as we read these passages of Scripture, I want to speak to you this morning concerning being safely sealed. Safely sealed. Now, eternal security is results more from the perfect plan and person of Jesus Christ than it does us being perfect. Amen. It's not so much about you living a perfect life. It's not the righteousness that we do, but it's the righteousness that Jesus did. The Holy Spirit keeps us according to the perfection of Jesus Christ, not according to our own perfection. Amen. Now, if I worked in a machine shop for several years, and one of the things you did not want to do is make a mistake. It would be very costly. Well, God doesn't make any mistakes. He never has to do any rework, I assure you. What He does is perfect. From the very onset, it's always perfect. God doesn't mess up. He doesn't make mistakes. But as we read these passages of Scripture, I want us to notice what Paul says concerning being sealed. Being sealed. Every believer is safely sealed. Verse 13. Well, let me start with verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now, I want to mention something here about predestination. To me, it's very plain in Scripture that you are chosen when you believe. Now, when do you believe? When did you believe? Did you believe in eternity past, or did you believe sometime in your life? And it's very clear to me that we are chosen, and this is very, I've already went over these passages, and that's not going to be my subject this morning, but I want to make it very plain concerning the predestination. The Bible teaches that we are chosen not in eternity past, but we are chosen in time. Amen. And that when God's Spirit comes into our hearts, that's when we are chosen. Amen. Now, it was obvious to me that when I was under conviction that I was doomed for a devil's hell. Now, the Holy Spirit wasn't lying to me. God doesn't lie. Amen. The Holy Spirit was revealing to me that I was doomed for a devil's hell. And if I did not trust in Jesus with all of my heart, I would go to a devil's hell. Amen. But when I believed in Jesus Christ with all of my heart, that all changed. And I was chosen of God. I was elected of God. I became a son of God. I was saved by the grace of God. And I was, from that point on, no longer going to hell, but going to heaven. Amen. He says, and from that point on, I was to be to the praise of His glory. But let's notice here. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, all right? After that you believed, you know, a lot of people that believe in predestination, they teach that the Spirit of God comes into you, that you're actually regenerated before you repent and before you believe. That's messed up, okay? The moment you believe and repent of your sins, you will experience the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. He says, when you believed, then you received the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Notice in this passage, verse 13, he says, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now I'll read a couple other passages of Scripture for you. Turn over to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Fourth chapter of Ephesians, verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now there's another passage, a third passage. This trinity of Scripture that I want to read in your hearing this morning, I think will serve us and help us concerning our understanding of safely sealed. Look in the book of Timothy just for a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Paul was writing to the young minister Timothy, and he says, whom concerning the truth have erred, having saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrowing the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now I want us to realize that this word seal does not mean like you seal a jar. It's talking about an impression. It's talking about a seal that signifies authority. It's talking about a document seal. Now, most of us have seen that. If we've ever received a diploma, there's generally a seal on that diploma. Or if you've been married, you've seen the seal of the state of Tennessee on that particular document concerning your marriage license. And there are various other seals. It's an attachment to a document that gives that document some authenticity. It validates that document. If you have a diploma and it doesn't have the seal, you really don't have a diploma. It might say that, but it does not actually mean that without that validation. And I want to say this, you know, if you've not received the control of the document concerning your marriage, if you haven't gotten all your paperwork in order, if you don't have that seal, then your marriage probably, according to the state, is invalid. And we could go on with this. I'm sure most of us have had something that was notarized. How many notaries do we have among us? Any notaries? This would be very helpful for you, for your pastor. Very good. Thank you. I might be very bad for you concerning the rest of the congregation. But we do have a notary among us, and of course when she notarizes that document, she doesn't add to the document. It's not a signature to the document. It's not a dictation of the document itself. Her seal simply validates the document. And that's the way it is with the seal of the Holy Spirit. Now I want us to understand about the seal. We want to understand that it's an attachment to the document. It's not the document itself. And now there's another use of the seal. It is to secure it. And many times when we read about the seal in the Scriptures, it leans toward that aspect of the word seal. It secures something. Now, a document can be secured with a seal. You might remember the tomb of Jesus. When Jesus had publicly professed that after 3 days and three nights that He would resurrect, that there were people that were concerned about that. And because of that, they went before Pilate and asked Pilate to put the Roman seal on his tomb. I don't know if it was a small document or what actually it was, but the tomb was rolled in front of the stone was rolled in front of the tomb of Jesus, and it was sealed with a Roman seal. And it was sealed for a certain determined amount of time. And many times in the Scriptures, we're going to find that there's a definite period of time in which we are sealed. We are sealed, as I read in your hearing, in Ephesians 4 and 30, until the day that we are physically redeemed, according to the purchased possession. So not only does this particular word have reference to a determined period of time, thus in the case of the tomb of Jesus, he said he was going to resurrect after 3 days, so it was sealed with a Roman seal for 3 days. And it carried with it all the authority and the power of Rome. That's another thing I want us to notice, that the seal, when it's used, it sanctifies, it includes the power of the person who seals it. Now, when we use a seal for the state, it carries behind it the power of the government. Amen? When we use a seal for when Pilate put the seal on the tomb of Jesus, it carried with it the authority of Rome. That if that seal was broke, you were in direct violation of the authority of Rome. And this is the case concerning God. I believe that when the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God seals us, it carries with it all the authority of God Himself. And to try to break that seal, you come in denial or defiance of the God who sealed us. Now, if that seal carries that kind of authority, I believe it's done once. I mean, it's not done repetitiously. If you have Sister Vicky to notarize something, and you say, well, Vicky, you put your stamp on it and your signature on it and your date and the date on it, just stamp it again at the top. Stamp it a third time. Why, Vicky would say, it wouldn't serve any additional purposes. It already has the validation. Amen. And I believe that's the way it is when we get saved. Amen? Amen. We are saved once and for all. Amen? And thus it is with the seal. It's very easy to understand this, that it's done for so many times for a determined period of time, which is in Scripture, according to what we've read in your hearing. It's done until the body is redeemed, but it's done for one thing. It's done at one time, and I believe it does serve for all times. For once we receive our glorified bodies, the purpose and plan of God will be completely complete. Amen. God had a purpose from the very foundation of the world. I want you to know that you cannot improve upon God's plan for your life, that you would be to the praise of His glory. And some of you this morning, you're making all of these plans for your life. You may be making plans for your education. You may be making plans for a way of life, a nice little house and a beautiful family and all these things. But if you don't align your life, if your soul is not aligned with God's purpose and God's plan for your life, and His purpose and plan for your life is that you would be saved by the grace of God, that you'd believe in Jesus Christ and be safely sealed unto the day of redemption, where you will be able to stand in the presence of the Lord, both soul and body, and give praise around His throne. God has a purpose, and God has a plan for your life. Yes. So, this is done in order to authenticate. It's done many times to validate. It's done many times. Well, let me read something for you. This is out of Vine's definition concerning the seal. He says it's an emblem of ownership. I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit has stamps upon your soul and safely seals it, as the Scriptures teach, at the moment that you believe and repent of your sins, you are owned of God. It implies ownership. He owns you. I'm telling you that Jesus Christ paid the price that you could not pay. And once you're redeemed and your soul has been saved, you're redeemed. You've been bought with the money, not with money that we think of in the way of currency, but you were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and Jesus paid for you and bought you. We've been bought with a price, amen. And that price was the precious blood of Jesus. Yes, an emblem of ownership. Vine says that this Greek word implies an not only an emblem of ownership, but security. He says, combined with a destination. Well, this is good. I was reading this out of Vines the other night, and I was thinking, yeah. Even in the seventh chapter of Revelation, where it was talking about the 144,000, the same thing that we read about in Ephesians chapter 1, the same elements found there in Revelation 7 are found here in Ephesians 1. It's a emblem of ownership and security combined with destination. He says the person to be sealed, being secure from a destruction and marked for reward. My friend, when the Holy Spirit comes in your heart, you're no longer under condemnation. Jesus said, if you believe in me, if you believe with me with all of your heart, he says, you won't die in your sins. He told them that those that believe in him are no longer under condemnation. But those who believe not are under condemnation. My friend, unless you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, you'll be condemned forever in an eternity of hell. A seal safely secures us from destruction. Get that. Hold on to that. It marks us for reward. He says the impression of a seal, as we read about in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. I read that in your hearing about the firmness of the foundation of God having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. Indicates ownership, authentication, security, and destination. He says, and let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from unrighteousness. Indicates ratification on the part of the believer and determination concerning the counsel of God concerning him. Yeah. Oh. Now, I want us to notice another passage of Scripture. Look in John chapter 6 for just a moment. John chapter 6. Jesus was speaking there in John chapter 6, verse 27. He was talking to the Pharisees, and he was talking to them concerning the bread of life. He was talking to them. Look in verse 27. He said, you know, labor not for the meat which perisheth. He said, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of God shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Now Jesus was accredited. He was accredited. He was sealed. Now, we read in your hearing at least three passages of Scripture that talks about the Holy Spirit and its involvement in sealing us, in stamping and securing us. But in this passage, it talks about Jesus being sealed of the Father. Now, I want to point something out to you. In the New Testament, in every place that I can find, I may be wrong about this, but in every place that I can find in the New Testament, when it talks about a Christian being sealed, the instrument of that sealing is always, always, always the Holy Ghost. Now, in this passage, I want you to know something else. He says, for in him hath, future tense, God the Father sealed. Now, when did God the Father seal Jesus? Now, in the case of the Christian, it always is synonymous with the instrument of the Holy Ghost. Would it not stand to reason that Jesus Christ was sealed and standing sealed when the Holy Ghost came upon him? Remember John the Baptist? Look in John, St. John, for just a moment. Remember John the Baptist, who was commissioned to go forth and to baptize for God? Look in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. If the sealing in every case concerning the Christian involves the instrument of the Holy Ghost, wouldn't it stand to reason and suggest that when Jesus was sealed to the Father, as we read about in John chapter 6 and verse 27, that it was having reference to when he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him as a dove? Amen. To accredit. I've preached for you on numerous occasions concerning the purpose of God in sending the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. That the wonderful miracles, the signs, the wonders, the speaking of tongues and the raising of the dead and the sick being relieved and brought back to health, that the church had that power to accredit that Jesus Christ had come and established His church. That it was firmly fixed like a seal on the world. That Jesus had come and set up His kingdom, had set up His church, and it was in the world. And once it was firmly accredited, those things were not needed any longer. And Paul said that once those things would no longer be needed, that they would cease. And the only thing that would remain would be faith, hope, and charity. But to accredit, to prove, to validate. Notice here, John was sent and he said, I didn't know who Jesus was. I didn't know who the Messiah was until the Holy Ghost fell on him like a dove and it assured me that he was the Lamb of God, the Messiah in which the world should believe. Notice in 1 John chapter 1. Let's notice here, it says verse 29, the next day John, seeing Jesus come, he said, behold the Lamb of God. He said that taketh away the sin of the world. He says, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. Notice here, John said, I did not know him, but he that sent me to baptize with water, verse 33, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. Now, let me point out something. John, and I'm not going to be able to get to this because of time, but John clearly says that Jesus Christ received the full measure of the Holy Ghost to accredit his work. Now, there's a contrast. There's a difference in what we as believers receive. We don't receive unlimited, unmeasureless Holy Ghost power like Jesus did. We don't. What we receive in the Holy Spirit is limited. But the Son of God received the full measure of the Holy Ghost to accredit His sonship. He said in this passage, and it remained with Him throughout His ministry, and it remains today. I contend that Jesus is still accrediting His work by the Holy Ghost. I believe He's still accrediting His gospel by the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost is still validating the work of the church and the work of God that's in the world, that Jesus is still accrediting His name and His power. He still has all power in heaven and in earth. I got a little away from what I was intended to say, but notice here, he said this. He said, I did not know who he was. I didn't know who the Messiah was, but God had clearly told him to go out there and baptize with water. And as he was baptizing with water, the Holy Ghost would come upon the Messiah, that it would descend upon the Messiah, that it would remain with him. He said, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And he says, I saw it. And I bear record that this is the Son of God. In the fourth chapter of Luke, when Jesus was in his hometown, I think it was Capernaum, he was in the synagogue, you know, and he talked about the prophecy of Isaiah, how that the Holy Ghost was upon him. He said, this has been validated, that the Holy Spirit is upon him to relieve the poor and to set liberty the captive and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. We read about that in the fourth chapter of Luke. The Holy Ghost came upon Jesus to accredit and validate that he is the Son of God. And I believe the Holy Spirit is still validating that today. Yeah, I sure do. All right. Anyway, what we need to notice and what we need to realize in the course of this, these things is that the true sealer, go back to Ephesians. Let's look there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. He says this, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with. Notice the word with. The Holy Spirit is the instrument used to seal us, But it's not the person of the Godhead that seals us. I contend that Jesus does the sealing. You may differ with me, and that's okay. But I contend that the true sealer is Jesus Himself, that He uses the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, as an instrument to confer upon the Christian that he is now, after he believes, a son or daughter of God. All right. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying that the Holy Ghost puts a mark upon the soul. And once that Holy Spirit puts the mark upon the soul, think with me just for a moment. All right? When did the Holy Spirit put a mark upon your soul? In the 19th chapter of Acts, Paul came across some people at Ephesus and he said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And I want to point something else out in these particular passages of Scripture. Vine said this, and I didn't bring this out. Read it, but you can look there and see. He was a great Greek scholar. He said that that this is in the aorist, and in other words, he is saying that it didn't. There wasn't time between believing and receiving the Holy Ghost. No space in time. My friend, when you really believe in Jesus with all of your heart, you will receive the Holy Ghost. That's the way it happens for all Christians. When you believe in Jesus with all of your heart, then the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and sets the seal there. Safely secured. He said, there is put upon her. He said in this passage, he says, notice here. And I need to make this very clear. He says, in whom after that you believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. With the Holy Spirit of promise. When you believed in Jesus, not 30 minutes afterwards, not 3 days later, not a week later, not a month later, the moment that you believe in Jesus is the moment that you experience regeneration. And I contend that the sealing of the soul happens when you are regenerated by the Holy Spirit. No other time. It happens when you believe. Amen. When you believe. All right. So there is put upon us a seal, a stamp, a mark that indicates that we are God's property. There's ownership involved when the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and in your life. And I want to say this. If you've not experienced that in your daily living, you need to check and see if the seal is really there. Amen. There's something that happens to us when we sin after we're saved that makes it real clear that God is the owner of our soul. I mean, the conviction comes along in our hearts and our lives and sets things in order for us, keeps us on the path. If you think you keep yourself saved, you are seriously mistaken. We are kept by the power of God, by the influence of God, by the Holy Ghost are we kept saved. You don't keep yourself saved. But when we sin, there is something inside of us that irritates that visitor of our soul. Amen? Now, you don't lose your salvation, but you can lose the joy of your salvation real quick. Yes, you sure can. We receive the sure mercies of David when we believe, found in the 13th chapter of Acts, 89th Psalm, 55th chapter of Isaiah. What was the sure mercies of David? That God would never, ever, ever forsake us after we're saved. He says that if we sin, He assured this to David in contrast to the way it was with Saul. And I don't know how you feel about Saul. I don't think Saul was ever saved. If he was saved, he lost his salvation. But I don't believe he was ever saved. But a lot of people thought he was saved. And to counterbalance that, to offset that, God gave David His sure mercies. The sure mercies are these. That He, and you can read them, 89, you read them for yourself, 89 Psalm, 13, and it's assured to us in the church in the 13th chapter of Acts that we have received the sure mercy of David, that he would not forsake us, but when we sin, he would visit us like a father would visit a son, and he would chasten us and bring us back in line with his will. And my friend, if that doesn't happen in your heart and life every now and again, then you don't have the seal of God on your soul. You are not safely sealed. Baptists have never believed that you can get saved and live any way you want to.
Amen.
And anybody who says that we believe that is a liar.
Amen.
We believe that when you get saved, that you will fulfill the decreed, predestined plan that God has for our lives, that we would live our lives to the praise of His glory. And the Holy Spirit is always there to make sure that happens. We have a mark. We are God's property. And that holds, the Holy Spirit holds him as God's property against any other claim, and which holds him until the time specified. When is the time specified? Until the day of the purchased possession. Notice there, it says very clearly in the first chapter of Ephesians in verse 14, to the redemption of the purchased possession. God doesn't let go of us until that specified time, that day that He redeems our mortal bodies. All right. The seal. I believe the seal holds good until that time. Remember I said the seal must have the authority. Now I've got a seal at home. I put it in the front of all my books. You know, I've got a stamp. I bought it. It's made of metal. And I can take a page, the first page of a book, and I can crimp that. And it says TDB in the middle. So look in the front of all your books. Make sure it's not there. Might have Pastor Return Book Day one of these Sundays. But anyway, and I crimp all of my books because I loan them out all the time. Don't get them back sometimes. But you know, the authority of that doesn't mean much. I don't have any authority. You know, I don't really have any power, you know. The seal is only as good as the power behind it. I'm trying to tell you something this morning. God puts His seal on our hearts, and that seal is from an omniscient, omnipotent, all-wise and powerful, almighty God. And anything or anyone that sets claims upon that soul is in violation of the one who has the power and put the seal. You lay any, if the devil lays, the devil cannot lay claims on the soul of the saved. I don't believe demons can possess saved people. And I do believe in demon possession. It holds good. And it's going to stay in force until the day of redemption of this mortal body. Because our God is omnipresent. He always watches our soul. Amen? Omnipresent, He's all wise and all powerful. We're not in danger of losing our seal. All right, I want to close. If I were to have brought that little machine that puts my stamp or my seal in the front of all these books, if I tried to do it on this pulpit, it would not leave an impression. You know why? Because it's hard. Or if I got a piece of metal out of my garage and sheet metal, and I took that crimp and I started squeezing real hard, it wouldn't leave any kind of impression on that sheet metal. And one of the reasons some of you cannot and do not have the seal of God upon your soul is because your heart is too hard. And it needs to go under the influence of the convicting power of God. You need to hear the Word of God. You need to hear that Jesus came. He died on a cross. He shed His precious blood for you. He was hanging there in agony as an atonement, as a substitute for your sins, that you might be saved. And everyone who looks by faith to Him experiences eternal life. There's one other passage I need to go to if I can remember where it's at. Look in 3 John. Yeah, John chapter 3. John chapter 3.
Notice this passage here, John chapter 3. See if I can find it. Give me just a minute. John chapter 3. Look in verse 33. He says, "And he that hath received his testimony." You need to hear the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to receive the testimony of the gospel that Jesus died for you, and he has commanded all men everywhere to repent. You need to repent of your sins and trust in Jesus with all of your heart. And when you repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ, you will experience salvation. You will experience the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will put peace in your heart. You'll know that you've just been marked by God as the and God is the owner. You'll know that the Holy Spirit has just crimped your soul and made it safe from the devil's hell, and that you're on your way to heaven. I don't know how it happens, but you just know. You just know in your soul, you know that you're on your way to heaven. And if you don't have that experience, you are not saved, and you are not safe. You must receive the testimony of God. Notice, he that hath received the testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. Well, I'm doing that this morning. I'm telling you, this is the truth. And I'm testifying to you. And I am by faith. See, by faith, you accredit that this is true, that I am condemned for a devil's hell, that the blood of Jesus, when I believe in him with all of my heart, forgives me of sin and can forgive the world. Is there anybody here that can testify? Can you set your seal this morning and say, this is true? Huh? I know this may be new for some of you. Some of you women might have difficulty with it. And I thank God for Sister Audrey. I hear her amening from time to time. Bible says all the people said amen in the Word of God. Can you set your seal? Can you testify? Can you accredit the fact that Jesus is the Savior? That He is the Son of God? That He is the only way to escape a devil's hell? Can you accredit that it comes through repentance and faith? And that when you repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit of regeneration comes into your heart and life? If you'll do that this morning, give me a hearty amen. Amen, amen, and amen. There's a sealing to be done by the Holy Ghost. I believe it's done by Jesus Christ. It's done when a man believes in Jesus. It's done once, it's never repeated. It holds good until the day of resurrection. It carries him safely through life. It'll carry him through death. It'll safely carry him, his body, to the day that Jesus comes and the resurrection occurs and he receives a glorified body. You ever walked out into a cemetery and just wondered how many of these people have the seal? Huh? Yeah, you ever went to a resurrection site and just walked around and said, I wonder how many of these people laying under their bodies, their souls have received this. I tell you, those bodies out there in those graveyards, they're going to be reunited with their own souls. I tell you, God's going to bring them with him. Yeah, at the coming of the Lord. Our Heavenly Father has set these things in order. And my friend, I want you to realize that you need that seal upon your soul. If you don't have that seal, my question before you this morning is very simple. Have you had the seal of God? Are you sealed with the Holy Ghost? Are you sealed with the Holy Ghost? Do you have that in your heart and life? Is there somebody here this morning that has never been saved? You've not believed in Jesus to the sealing of your soul. Your belief in Him intellectually is not good enough. Your belief in Him that He came or that He was a good man or that even that He's the Savior intellectually is not good enough. You must believe with all of your heart. And when you believe with all of your heart, you will receive a sealing of the Holy Ghost. If that's not occurred in your heart and life, And everybody that has experienced it knows it. They know when it happens. If that's not occurred in your life, you need to seek the Lord and be saved. And I'm going to give an invitation this morning. And I'm going to call upon you. I call upon you this morning to seek the Lord that you might receive the seal of God in your soul. How about it? Are you sealed? Let us stand and sing a verse of some song. Have you believed in Jesus to the sealing of your soul?